Sometimes you realize you got a really good podcast. When you got a good podcast, because you realize that anyone can relate. You know, you're helping other people out. You're helping yourself out first by freeing yourself. You get things off your chest, you address it. That's healthy behavior. I had learned behavior that was not healthy behavior. And I realized I had a lot of behavior, learned behavior that wasn't healthy behavior. I made horrible choices in relationships because I realized role models and behavior was not positive. It's like a tattoo in your brain, I'll say again. And learning with trauma therapy just to untattoo what I learned. Environments weren't healthy, situations weren't healthy, not okay. And I'm realizing now it's like, you know, and I said before, do I ever want a relationship with another man again? I'm still going to say right now how I feel and tell you how I feel by experience. No. HELL with all caps across and scream on top of the world. Hell no. NO. Sorry, laugh at that. I know other women. I joined a support group from a good soul named Stephanie last week, Thursday. And people who jumped on real quick, women helping other women and empowering other women, it jumped in a situation that I was told point blank was not okay. It went way off of the way that somebody should handle something, was completely went to the far right and the far left. And being empowered by other women who've gone through experiences like you have is empowerment. And we should support ladies one another, you know? Not, you know, not any other way, let's just say. But joining a support group and being able to connect with other women, you know, in a support group that I've never thought I'd be involved with, I didn't know existed. But that's what I mean about empowering other women, is you don't know what's out there as far as health. Don't be too afraid or proud, or you know, proud, or you know, learn behavior, and I did. Don't ask for help. Pretend like nothing exists. Every day's happy. We don't talk about anything negative. We don't talk about problems. Evade, avoid, evade, avoid, evade, avoid. That's not good. That's poor learned behavior. And I'm realized through therapy, it's not just a therapist I have now. I had a therapist in Ohio for crying out loud over 10 years. Guy was trying to tattoo in my brain of things that weren't normal, not okay, telling me what I needed to do. And I'll be honest, I listened, but I didn't apply it. And I did that myself. I'm an empath, raised my head. I needed to apply what I was being told because it was for my own emotional well-being and my health and my for my own damn good. Didn't listen. Now I get it. You know, sometimes you have to have your own ha-ha moments. As you said, sometimes you have to learn on your own. You will eventually, Kim. But this is not okay, and this is our behavior, and you're gonna continue making bad choices in men. You're gonna make choices in life that aren't good. Because you need to undo your behavior. And then, like I said, when I went up oncology, I was referred to a psychologist that worked with and that was connected to the Cancer Institute group. And then I got referred out. I went through actually two psychologists. You know, I think about, like, actually, never correct myself, went through two. One I had sessions with and was seeing for maybe a couple months. And then they realized, whoa, okay, you got some serious learned behavior and things that transpire throughout your life that aren't okay, that you're going to probably start surfacing in your mind. It's like peeling a band-aid off. And I hope you're just an emotional, strong place in life to be able to talk it through. My psychologist in Ohio is the same thing. Eventually, that amnesia-like is what your brain's doing, is protecting itself from trauma throughout life, things you experience that aren't normal. And that learned behavior is going to need to connect with undoing the behavior. You know, to make a better, best, you know, life for yourself, but how to make sure that you're under the care that you need, which is trauma therapy. I could not find, this is the truth, a couple people asked, I could not find the trauma therapist on my own. For those that say it's hard to find a trauma therapist, I'll say it again, is they're usually referred. They do not take patients by you calling them. It has to be a referral from another mental health provider. I have severe anxiety. I realized over the past week, my anxiety is literally starting to go off the chart. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm now starting to flag myself. I don't want to get back to this because I've worked hard with my anxiety and my emotional well-being, my mental health, and I don't want to get to that point. I don't, you know, you. I have medicine to take to help me sleep, but the anxiety and waking up, you know, you called night terrors, and you start thinking about everything. It's just your brain going, going, going with anxiety. That gets panic attacks. And anybody's had panic attacks? I had them in Walmart. Oh, hell no. No, I don't want them. Don't want them. Don't need them. I realized I put myself back in the same cycle, same circle of people that time didn't heal wounds. And now it's worse. So it's like, okay, I have to exit this gracefully and just wish you well, take care, because I can't be around. It's not healthy. That self-love, don't feel bad for having to cut relationships and keeping a long distance, okay? Doesn't mean you have to completely kill the relationship off. It's just you have to keep a healthy distance sometimes, because it's the end result sometimes the only thing you can do. But once I got into the hands of trauma therapy and started realizing some things, and they were able to get a hold of records, and I had my disability attorney send them records because they felt it was important to get to know my backstory, and I always talk about backstories. So they transferred records, and it was time. It's been about going on 2 years, actually, the next month and a half that I've been in trauma therapy. Trauma therapy deals with cases to where people have made bad choices. They've gone through bad things in life. It's affected their mental health. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. There's so many people, what other two people now, probably more than that, suffered from some type of something wrong with their mental health, whether anxiety, depression, panic attacks. And it's so refreshing to see that people are okay talking about it. It's perfectly okay. I think it always should have been that way. COVID brought out mental health problems in people and undiagnosed and being stuck inside doors. A lot of people couldn't handle it. And it brought to surface that people had were struggling with their mental health, just too afraid and scared to say because of being judged. And people are judgmental in society, especially in the United States, and that's the truth. You know, I want individual constantly, instead of like just saying, hey, listen, I did this stuff to you, which was not okay, still not apologize. And then they sit there and they would always sit there and tell everybody, oh, she's got mental health problems. Oh, it's because of mental health. Oh, this is it. Why don't you instead just say, listen, I did this stuff to her. Why don't you tell everybody I did this stuff to her? I did all this stuff to her for over a decade. And I haven't apologized to her, and I still haven't. Instead, I wanted to call her crazy. She's got mental health problems. I got anxiety. What the heck do you think is going to happen after all that stuff? Already had anxiety. Started going to panic attacks. You weren't subtracting. You were adding the problem. But she still haven't apologized for anything. It's just an excuse. I did this because of this. I did this because of that. Why don't you just say, I did this because I shouldn't have done it. And now that I'm a bigger person and I was given some time and distance, I don't blame you for distancing yourself from me, that I want to be a better version and I want to apologize and I want to explain this, but I don't want to use excuses for my behavior. And some people just won't get it. They don't know nothing. Some people don't think they ever done anything wrong. It's always other person's fault. That makes you feel great at the end of the day. It's my fault. Okay, whatever. Okay, that's fine. You know, I'm just not in a position to argue about it. Okay, whatever. Whatever you say. Okay. I just, in my mind, respectfully agree to disagree, but if that's what you want to hear, okay, that's fine. I'm distancing myself all the way to Mars. You stay on Jupiter, I'll stay on Mars or Venus. It's just safer that way. I don't want to be around anything that's going to not be good for me and unhealthy. Exactly, Blue. But I realized, you know, I'm just going to say this for in general, whether you're in family, a village, community, whatever, there's a lot of dysfunction. You know, and it's unfortunate, it's sad, but true. There's a lot of dysfunction, family dysfunction out in the world. And there's so many people, it's the secret of dysfunction. You know what I'm talking about? You're involved in a family, and it's like taboo if you talk about it. You know, that's not normal. That's just showing signs of zero communication skills. You know, as adults, we have to communicate. You know, and you're in a family or a village community, bloodline, foster, adopted, whatever, and, you know, you're bred and raised and taught, and you teach how to keep things secret or lock and key. Don't talk about anything negative. Don't deal with it. No, we're not dysfunctional. We're perfect. Forcing other members to go in front of other members, near other members, because it's a gift and it suits one member. It's a benefit because it's just an image. Anybody in a family like that, dysfunction? That's just an image. It's just a facade. It's fake. It's not real. Real families have real dysfunction, real problems, and no family's perfect. Any family who tries to portray to the last breath of a perfect family is fooling themselves. It's need to be said. It's annoying. It's another thing. It's annoying. Releasing the annoying. Free your annoying. And happiness will follow, you know? Next day will follow. I don't know why families do that, you know? Project this holier than thou perfect image. It's not there. And usually those families are the most highly dysfunctional families, unhealthy family dynamics. And the sad thing is then it continues on next generation. And you ever sit back and then you literally see the next generation where the dysfunction, where it is, where it's beginning. You see the black sheep already. You see the perfect child already. You see this. You said, because it's already there. It's already happening. You know, you're one of those people, you try to break the generational cycle and the curse. Cousin on my dad's side, boy, she said, it's just a curse. She said, I'm dealing with this. And then I'm realizing through history and research, and like I've talked about her before, and she's done a ton of research, and I've connected with her by chance, because it's a Christmas gift. I got a DNA thing. And then I realized my grandmother, great-grandmother, Sioux Indian. I'm wondering where this dark hair, dark complexion comes from. And it didn't come from leprechauns. Irish side, that's for sure. And you realize how much dysfunction, you know, that families have. But man, you know, it's the worst thing is families go hiding that dysfunction. Portraying an image in public, you're not. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, what you don't realize is people in the public already know the dysfunction's there. The toxicity's there. The unhealthy dynamics are there. You know, whether you're a village, community, family, whatever the situation, adopt, foster, it doesn't matter. You know, you're trying to hide something that's dysfunctional with the family. People already know. You're not hiding something that's easily visible. Why hide it? You know? And then you'll have families that'll do whatever, take a person 6 feet under if they can, lock you up. You know? Lock and key. Heaven forbid, if you ever talk about the dysfunction, shut them up. The gang up together. Shut them up. Do what you can. Lock them up. Throw them in jail. Throw them in prison. And they can't tell the public how dysfunctional the family is. Heaven forbid, the head person got to make sure of it. Everybody gang together. You know, project. Usually the black sheep go after, gang up on. That's a sad reality. You ain't talking about black sheep. If you was a black sheep, you better have the black sheep coat of steel. That's all I got to say. And I'm not talking about the signature family heirloom either. Or the family sign or symbol or whatever it may be, you know? You ganged up. You're black sheep. Black sheeps. Respect what I'm saying? You get ganged up, it's going to be downright damn brutal. Period. Worse than anything you'd ever see on CNN or, hell, women's TV or whatever. You're talking about, I'm just going to go off tough. Talk about Sex in the City, and I know I'm going just off topic, but how many people are watching this next latest series of Sex in the City? Why do they always, the first episode, make it so horrible? And I know I'm just going off cuff because, you know, I can do it. It's a podcast. And hell, free yourself. Let's talk about things. Let's take serious things and throw in something just to throw you off. But that first episode, because I love Sex and City series. I had all the movies and stuff. And of course, Max, HBO, or was it Cinemax or HBO or whatever. Max, they call it. You know, if you're streaming like I am. The first episode, anybody else go, oh man, what are they thinking? Because, you know, they bring this into a room of public opinion before they air the next season. And, you know, people could not have been like, this is the best first episode of Sex and the City ever. No, it's actually, they did a poll and it was actually, what was it, less than half of the first episode of viewing of what they even had of the season before. And you watch that first episode and it's just, I don't know. In my opinion, I first started thinking they had just too many characters and getting way too many people. Now, if it was me, I would just have the original four, the original people of Sex and the City series. And then we started adding people on, okay? Which is fine, but it didn't work the first episode. And then you watch the second episode of the season and you're like, okay, this is great. And then you're like, this is really damn raunchy. You don't want to have your kids around. Sometimes you just want to close your eyes yourself. And then you think of, you know, the people that are portraying the characters, you know, the actors, and you say, God, whew. You know, this should be like XXX rated. Is this really, like, appropriate for even Max to have? But now it's like, and you know it, like last season, and all of a sudden, the more episodes that go on, the better it's getting. You know, I was it planned that way or something? I don't know. If I didn't like that kind of person I've always been, where second chances, and sometimes realizing in my life that there I should stop the second chances for myself and my sanity. But when it comes to Sex and the City, of course, I'm like, yeah, I'll give it, you know, second episode of the new season, you know, and it got better. But anybody else, you're like, that's a lot of characters in there. There's a lot of stories. It's a lot, you know. And then we bring Aiden back. That's what's happening. Samantha's supposed to show up. I miss Samantha. I think it's like having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without the jelly. You know, you're missing out. You know, it's like the hot dog without the mustard, a hot dog without the ketchup, a hot dog without Coney Island without the cheese, you know. And Samantha's supposed to just make this portray or this portrayal of herself, but she's not on set from what they say. Just disagreements between the actors and actresses offline, off cuff, so to speak. Could have gave her $1 billion, brought her back. You know, I think it would have benefited the whole series, but that's just my opinion. We're all entitled to it. But I mean, how many people are Sex and the City fans, fanatics? Oh God, I don't have enough hands. Raise my hand. And I know I just plugged Sex and the City series. Please do not have your children around, folks. And even if you're a parent, you probably don't even want your adult kids around you, unless you're free to talk about sex and some crazy stuff, because like strap-ons and things like that, because it was absolutely crazy how they got away with some of that stuff. I'm like, oh my God, you know. I'm sorry, I just broke the whole topic and conversation, and I know you're just shaking your head going, that was just completely off left and right field. But even they have dysfunction on there, you know? And they talk about the problems, you know? Steve and her going through divorce, they're still existing together for their son's sake, and talk about dysfunction. And you know, anybody who has similar situations, you're like, oh, it's so refreshing, they'll talk about it. Why are we not talking about it? Why are people so secretive and think it's so taboo if you talk about family dysfunction? When you know everybody and the brother and mother know your family's not perfect and it's dysfunctional as hell. You know, why hide it? Just say it, you know? But then you got families that are like literally bury you if they could, not 6 feet, but 100 feet under, just to shut you up because they don't want people to know anything about dysfunctional family. And heaven forbid if they've done something really not okay, they don't want anybody to know, you know? And those are people never apologize for what they do anyway. I think it's silly, you know? It's part of communication skills. Just say it. You know, transparency is everything, especially in this day and age. Transparency, you know, you're not being transparent at all when you go hiding things about, you know, nobody's family's perfect. Everybody has family dysfunction. And when you try to hide that stuff, it just makes it worse. The image is just even worse. And you need to do really bad things within families, and communities, villages. And then you have, you know, the families gang up on and each other and gang up on one, and you're doing things that you know are not okay, and then you never take ownership and you just evade, avoid, evade, avoid, and then pick up off where you left off, which wasn't good anyway. It was foul, it was stale, whatever you want to say, and act like nothing happened. Please, if you're a family member and you're around a family member, family members, whatever situation, and that happened, it happened. You got to apologize and make peace with the past. You never move forward. Period. There is no family events or functions, whatever, but people and families of familiars, communities, and villages where this function, there's some really hardcore things that transpired that weren't okay at all. And communication, a good therapist would have stopped all that. But you got the king and queens, or two kings or two queens of their kingdom. I come from a therapist point of view, as you got a parent or parents are always the king or queen of their kingdoms, or two kings or two queens, because love is love. They control the happiness and peace. If they're part of the problem, they're allowing it. That's not a king or queen. That means another one needs to come in and dethrone, you know, like the real world or back in Renaissance age. And this is just hypothetically speaking. Somebody's got to take over and get the peace going. And sometimes it just never happens. And just, it's unfortunate, but the generations exit, the next generation takes over and never stops. You know, it's like my cousin said, there's, you know, and she said, I'm dealing with this, this, and there's got to be some kind of curse, and this, and it just doesn't stop. You know, and I've realized I just have to start exiting to realize peace, because it was never healthy. This thing's not healthy, you know, but there's a pattern. It's a pattern. behavior, continue, learn behavior, not good. You know, I don't understand when families are that highest, you know, families are dysfunction, everybody's got problems in families, their family's perfect. Any people who portray their family's perfect, you're lying. You're living a lie, first of all. Why people don't get counseling, you must enjoy it. That's all I got to say. There are some people in life that really love and they feed off the drama and they like to have the craziness. They like crazy. They like crazy. I want to run the hell away from crazy. I remove myself from crazy. I don't want to be around no crazy. I can't handle that. I can't handle that. You know, and talking about mental health and stuff in general, if somebody has mental health problems, whether you know or you didn't know or you found out later, whatever situation of title, whether who it is or who, what a bloodline or spouse or whatever, the boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend ever. And if somebody has mental health problems and you get wind and way before you even come across the board, you know, people will stay on top of their mental health. You want to talk about a downhill spiral, you know, and people who suffer from mental health, it's not everybody, you know. I raise my hand on anxiety, severe anxiety, getting under control. I have to be called in something just to get some sleep. But I realize I do it myself because I'm throwing myself back into toxic situations that aren't healthy. And I know better. At the end of the day, like today, I slap myself on my own hand and I say, you know what? You know better. Don't do it again tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow you wake up. God gave you another day. Don't repeat the mistakes. It may take you 100 times over to get it. But there's a lot of things I got. And now I'm getting older. I really got. And I put a stop to it. Brakes are on. Enough's enough. But there's some people with mental health, and they don't stay on top of it. They're not seeking treatment. They're not seeking therapy the way that's supposed to be intended to. Treatment plans. We're talking about therapists, you know, the medicine and stuff. And when people do that, don't you go feeling sorry for people who do that. They don't stay on top of their mental health. If you're an adult, you're responsible for your mental health. You're responsible for staying on top of that stuff. What's worse is when people want other people to feel sorry for them, for their behavior, and then they blame everybody else. And they'll blame the person that was actually by their side and was helping them out, put them before them, especially in a marital situation. I'll plead the fifth. That's all I'm going to say. And then they want to blame the person that was putting up with it, helping them. You know, people don't stay on top of their mental health. You know what they're going to do? They're going to downhill spiral. They're going to hit rock bottom. And some people hit rock bottom a million times over, and they keep hitting it again. As they're going down rock bottom, they're going to drag anybody within their reach and grip all the way down with them. Because if people will suffer from some serious mental health problems, that's what they're going to do. You can't go save everybody. You're not God. You need to remove yourself. That's not being cruel. When you help somebody, and I know I've been in that situation, I help somebody, and they don't want to help themselves, you got to remove yourself. That's not good, because other factors are going to fall in. You're going to be a human punching bag and then some. And it's not a warning, it's a fact. You know, I could take a little bit of this podcast and you could take away and run with it and benefit your life. And you know what? We're all win-win. Don't put yourself in that situation, especially you women. Don't do it. You can't save. You can't save all men, okay? And you can't save anybody in general. You got to be willing to save yourself. You got a mental health. You got to stay on top of your mental health stuff. You know, when people downhill spiral, they don't care about anything. They don't care about bills. They don't care about responsibility. They don't care about pets. They don't care about the kids. They don't care about life. They don't care about anybody, you know? And it's going to show. It's going to surface. You're not going to change that. You can try to help people all day long to your last dying breath, but you got to know when to just stop. When somebody's dealing with mental health stuff, they know it and you know it, and they're not staying on top of it. And instead, they're using excuses and blaming everybody else. It's your responsibility with mental health. But Lord, man, they start taking you down, you know, hitting rock bottom, and they're hitting the rocks going down, and they're taking you down. Make sure you hit the rocks harder than they are. No, you need to, no. Don't you feel bad. You need to remove yourself. No, you got to remove yourself. That stuff's crazy. You know, you can only help people so much, you know, if they're going to try to suck you down with them. Well, that's not a good person to start with. And you helping them, it's just somebody taking advantage of your kindness, period. And I have no problem helping people and being supportive, and I've done my fair share, but I'm not going to be taking advantage of them being a fool either. You got to know when just, you know, like Kenny Rogers, know when to fold that deck, move on, you know? You're going to struggle, you're going to suffer, it's going to be hard, yes, okay? But, you know, good Lord, guardian angels, you know, your fur angels in heaven will see you through it, you'll get through it, it's tough, you'll get through it, it's tough. I've hit the tough days this week. I'm like, yeah, I get through it. Got through it. Here I am, I got through it. That's not easy. But don't you give up. Don't have people taking you down their path with them. And you have mental health problems way before you meet people, whether married, engaged, or a situation. Okay? That's your responsibility as an adult. Don't you go throw it off to everybody else. It's not everybody's fault. It's not everybody's responsibility to take you by the hand. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be responsible. You know? And we have to remember, too, for lack of, when you're blaming other people for your mental health, you're not being responsible to take people down. Everybody, in one time or another, is going to have to take ownership and pay the consequences for behavior. Period. That's life. No matter what it is. You know, don't forget it. You know, but you got to know when enough's enough. You know, good Lord, there's a point of feeling sorry, but there's a point with somebody's mental health and they're not staying on top of it and they do it themselves and they just don't care and they could care if they were here today or gone tomorrow. You know, I was always told by my psychologist in Ohio is, you know, therapists, we can lock people up, we can put them in facilities, you know, on temp holds. You know, even had an officer say you can put a temporary hold on somebody or whatnot, you know, but it's just temporary. Oh, and unfortunately, people come out and go right back to where they're at because they're not staying on top of their treatment plans for mental health. They're not staying on top of things. That's not your responsibility, folks. You're not God. You know, sometimes you've just got to let people fall and hit the rock bottom, you know. You wish them well and hope that that'll change things, but fortunately, a good percentage, it doesn't. People get worse. You know? You can't save people, period. People have to be willing to save themselves and change themselves, and that's the truth. And no therapist can do it either, and any licensed therapist will tell you that. It's kind of like it's life in general, you know? I don't raise my hand. I've made critical, bad mistakes and errors. I have lived off of emotional response in parts of my life, not all parts of my life. I've taken ownership. I work with therapy on it, but I'm not taking ownership for everything. I take ownership for me, not for others' behaviors or actions. But you know, I've done distance things, and unfortunately, distance time didn't work. You know, I had to stay on Venus, and they or them or whoever had to stay on Mars. Jupiter, or whatever, a safe distance, you know, because you have to protect your peace at all costs, no matter what. If somebody's trying to sink you and drown you, you're going to do whatever you need to do. I'm going to say it again. You do whatever you need to do to swim. I was talking to a friend of mine who's in town just temporary, and they have to go back down south for obviously employment reasons and family business reasons, but they were saying, and it was an interesting conversation we had, and as I said, you know, people have to do what you have to do, you know, to survive. And people are limited, and people who are disabled, and people who do have problems, and people that aren't even on disability yet in the process, and they're sick, or they're cancer patients, or whatever situation. If people do what they got to do. OnlyFans. I'm going to bring it up. OnlyFans. People used to think OnlyFans was just about pornography, and it's just people selling sex online. OnlyFans is not. OnlyFans is getting to be like TikTok now, and that's the truth. The TikTok is profitable. There are creators in that, and it's profitable, okay? OnlyFans is becoming just like TikTok. You know, you ladies out there, you know, situations, you know, and things like what I'm in, and you're going from two incomes to one, not because you wanted to, because you don't have a choice. Protecting your peace, okay? You're protecting your health, your sanity, all right? There's companies, which are websites, like OnlyFans, where it's not just selling sex, like people say, selling, you know, feet videos and photos, things like that, which, you know, yeah, that's real, I'm just going to say. But OnlyFans, there's people that do woodworking that have their channel on there that show you instructional how to do, you know, build things in woodworking, men or ladies. There's people that are cooks that cook on OnlyFans, and they share the recipes and their subscribers. OnlyFans now, I'm sorry to say this, for people who think it's all about pornography and sex, is not. There's an array of people with different talents that have a platform on OnlyFans. And OnlyFans can be very, very profitable. But we have to remember, just like TikTok and OnlyFans, these companies are going to make a percentage. Nothing is free. Sorry, they're going to get their cut, you know? But for people that cannot leave the house or they can't work physically, but they're mentally still strong, but they have to go by certain hours, they're on treatments, they're still under oncology care, whatever situation, no matter if it's on cancer or anything else, there are websites and apps and platforms where you can, hey, be your entrepreneur. Doesn't mean you're going to do great. So don't put this high limit up that you're going to make, you know, $1 million right off the bat, whatever. You know, you got to, I think at that point when you start fresh and as an entrepreneur, you're working for yourself, is you got to be pessimistic at first. So you don't set yourself up when you fail to be so disappointed, you end up harming yourself. Because working for yourself or entrepreneur, your own business is hard. You know, you're going to probably fail once, if not twice, you know, and you learn from each time. And like I say, you're one step away each time when you fail to one step closer to success. But there are platforms like that. I've looked into OnlyFans after next month's hearing as something that I could do that I could work around my treatment schedule under palliative care. Yeah, because I'm gonna say my good days are not many, and I can't travel like I used to anymore. And that's just reality in life. Okay. And I accept that is what it is. But I've looked into that because I love cooking and things like that. You can go on multiple platforms and do it. You know, don't go just on TikTok. There's subscriptions to TikTok. There's OnlyFans subscriptions. There's other platforms where you can share your hobbies, your talent, your skills. Are women selling sex and their skills? Yeah. Hey, you know, there's people who say, oh my God, that's so evil and stuff. And blah, 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 blah. Well, if you're not in the woman's situation, especially when they have like four or five kids and the man just ups and leaves and all of a sudden doesn't pay for anything, doesn't do anything, is, you know, not going by anything, you know, there's a situation. Ladies, you do what you need to do. As long as you don't hurt anybody in process and you're safe about it. I'm going to probably catch some slack on this. I really don't care. Okay. I know what it's like that, you know, you're in a situation and a man puts you in and you didn't ask for it by any means. Hell, especially if you've been supported, nothing but support from the man, and all of a sudden you got just stabbed in the back and left to dry and thin on your own. You gotta do what you gotta do. I'm not talking about prostitution either. There are people on OnlyFans who do specialty cards and videos and things like that, and I'm not talking about sex acts, you know, whatever situation. I'm just saying you do what you need to do. Because in this day and age, it's hard to find help. When you do, be grateful for the help you get, whether it's somebody who's providing financial help or assistance or emotional help or assistance, or heaven forbid, you're lucky and fortunate and you find organizations that can help. These organizations out there, I'll say it again, are strapped for financial donations. People don't have the money. It's tough. These homeless shelters too, you don't have to hear on the news. You can look around your area where you live. They're maxed. They're waiting lists. People are having to live on the streets. They're having to live on the beach. And you look at these people who are homeless, you have an image in your mind. You realize that person's homeless. They don't look like a homeless person. Well, this isn't like 1930 either. You know, sorry, I say it again. Biden destroyed the United States. He destroyed the economy. Trump had us all spoiled. He did. He took care of us. You know, he was like that good parent. It was like, don't worry, children, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you this right now, help you get through it. Need help, I'll help you get through it. That's what every president should do. We all pay taxes. We should decide where our tax money's going, not have somebody behind the desk decide for us. Okay, unless he's paying all our taxes, then okay. But dad, you're not paying all the taxes. So please take care of your children, you know, the citizens of the United States, because everybody's suffering. Not raising the debt ceiling and then we pay for it. And I'll say it again, when Daddy Trump was taking care of us and he made America great again, which he did, I knew when Biden got in, we were going to pay for it. He was like that evil stepfather you didn't want. Seriously, that was funny. That was funny. I mean, he is. And he just goes in and goes, okay, got you $2,000, $3,000. I'm going to go in your bank. I'm going to go in your savings. I'm going to go to your kids' table. I'm going to go into the dinner platter. I'm going to take it all from you. I'm going to make you struggle and suffer. Is everybody struggling to suffer? That's the truth. I got hit with the electric bill. I got one electric bill from this company. I got water and gas from this company. Thank God I ain't paying for gas. And yeah, I got the electric bill and it was going to go up. And holy cannoli, I doubled. You know, it's crazy. But ladies, I'm going to say, you do what you got to do. You do what you need to do. Don't you go worry about anybody else. Well, somebody's paying all your bills. Don't go worry about nobody else. You do what you got to do. Do what you got to do, ladies, as long as you're not hurting anybody. Okay? All right? Do what you need to do. Don't worry about people judging you. People will judge you no matter what. With your OnlyFans, if you're making a pie, they're going to judge you on your crust. I mean, seriously, that's how people are. You know, at the end of the day, I'll say it again. You're on your journey to heaven. End of the day. You know? Is it going to really matter what people think of you? Is that going to matter when your body's shutting down? No. Is that going to matter? Mm-mm. Family dysfunction? You know, all that wasted energy and time you gave it. And you try and try and try and try again. And you know it's not going to go anywhere. You're a projection, maybe a black sheep. End of the journey. You're going to want that time back. You're going to go, wow, it's a lot of time. All right. Well, today is the end of the day. You may have tried that beaten path a million times over. You tried a million and one. Tomorrow's a new day. It's a clean slate. All right. You do what you need to do to protect your peace. And if you have a tie with dysfunctional families, and there's a lot of dysfunctional families out there, protect your peace. Do the opposite tomorrow. You know, you don't have to be a jerk. We all act out of emotion. We've all been jerks at one time. I've been jerked too. But then you got other jerks, you know, and dysfunctional families that never unjerk themselves because they never make peace and never apologize, you know. And then you're down the same beaten path over and over and over again. And you ever get to that point, you'll realize that you just like you feel nothing. It's just like, okay, whatever you say. You know, I don't have time. That's when you realize you've made peace for yourself. And you move on. You're an argument factor. You don't need to be a jerk back. Unjerk yourself. Take the jerk shirt off. Say it 10 times over. Remove yourself and move forward. You know, relationships, same way. Don't work out. You know, oh, okay, it didn't work out. Many times it didn't work out. Okay, but please share your experience. Share your journey. Share your knowledge. Most importantly, what you went through is wisdom for others. You know, that's priceless. And you should feel good about being able to help others by just sharing your journey, being transparent. You know, we don't have enough support out there. And there's a lot of people that don't like counseling. And they don't like support groups. And those are people that are N-word, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's entitled to how they handle problems. But you know you're feeling like a 2-liter pop bottle that was shaken and put back on the shelf. So why are you feeling like that? And why are you afraid? And why are you suffering in silence? You know? This is where people who are transparent to share their journeys and podcasts and blogs and Caring Bridge page and whatever else, you're helping those people that are N-word, that fear of judgment, being ridiculed, made fun of, chastised, and bullied. You're priceless because you're helping those people that are suffering in silence. So remember that, you know? Remember that. And by all means, you know, you do what you need to do, ladies, you know? You protect yourself, your family, your fur kids, your human kids are in a situation. You do what you do. Just make sure you're not hurting nobody in the process. And remember, you know, there's a lot of platforms you can take your talents. You know, whether you're a master at hula hooping, there's a lot of people enjoy watching that online. There's a lot of people that enjoy watching you dance, Zumba, sing, whatever. I've seen it all. You know, yeah, go on TikTok. There's so much talent on TikTok. It's unreal. That platform is going like a complete it's literally evolving itself. I really think the United States government is so on TikTok to shut it down because they're jealous of the success they have and bringing unity and getting a little bit of peace, a little bit of escape to people who are suffering, and not just the United States, around the world. Whether it's the economy, but most importantly, climate change, you know, is struggling. You know, everybody's entitled, and the world's entitled to a little bit of an escape. We don't want to shut things down because then everybody be left with nothing. And that's suffering, right? But take care of yourself. Don't worry about today if it was a bad day. Don't worry about if you set back. You did set back. You fell off the wagon, whatever situation. You went back to dysfunction. You know it was unhealthy. Nothing changed. You had high expectations. You pessimistic. Hey, didn't work. You knew that already. All right. What are you going to react like a jerk back? Okay? Move forward. You know? Tomorrow when you wake up, do something positive. Pray. Angel reading, card reading. Oh, give yourself a piece of candy. Hell, make yourself a cake tonight. You know, eat a slice of cake every morning. You know, don't worry about the extra calories. Don't worry about if you're overweight. You're going to have all day to burn it off. And the best time to eat cake is in the morning. You know, just I'm saying, just do something nice for yourself. And don't suffer in silence. And Don't worry about naysayers and people that don't know how to be in tune with their emotions, don't know how to control their emotions. And those people like that are people that, you know, maybe counseling, but you're not God. You're not a counselor. Okay. So don't try to be. Just worry about yourself, number one. Protect your peace at all costs. Period.